Okay, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. It is good to be back in the studio interviewing athletes. Now, it has been a while since we've done, an in-person interview. Last week we did an online one. And I'm very excited for this one because we're sort of continuing that theme of the whole fighting, boxing, Muay Thai, MMA. We recently had John DiBella on the podcast, a ONE champion. But today, I'm very, very excited for this one. Now, I apologize if I pronounce your last name wrong, but Luke Discerny, is that?
Discerny,
yeah. So, we have you on the podcast today, mate, so I really appreciate you taking the time. How's training? How's life? How's things going?
Well, look, you know, it's actually been pretty good. You know, it's getting towards the end of the year, so it's kind of dying down a little bit, but I'm just trying to, you know, keep consistent so then I can have a big start early next year.
100%, and I'm sure 2024 will be a massive year for you. Before we get into anything, before I start to ask you questions, I did actually want to mention that I think recently you met with ONE champion Jonathan Haggerty.
I did, yes.
He came by Riddler's gym. How was that?
Yeah, his seminar was actually pretty incredible. It was actually quite an honor to meet him. Yeah, It was nice to learn, just see different styles of training, see how he does his things, and it was pretty special moment to get that photo with him and do his demo, so that was nice.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I saw a video of you in the ring with him, so I'm sure you might have been a little bit nervous in there with him.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
But it's hard, so...
You know. I can imagine, mate. Yeah, a professional fighter, 100%. Now, the first question we ask athletes when they come on is, you know, getting a bit of backstory. So, for you, being a fighter, a Muay Thai fighter, how did you actually get into that? Was it from an early age? Was it later on? Walk us through kind of the journey, how you gained interest in it.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't really my choice to get into Muay Thai. It was actually my mum's choice. Because, you know, I started 10 years ago now. This year was 10 years. So, she kind of just dragged me onto the mats one day. Said, off you go, all right, off you go, have fun. Really, I didn't want to do it when I first started, you know. Honestly, who would, you know, it's kind of quite intimidating. But after my first session, I think that was I was pretty hooked on it. Because, you know, I was so young, I never really thought, oh yeah, I'll be a fighter. But I kind of just kept with it because I enjoyed it so much. Yeah, after that first session, haven't looked back. Had 11 fights now. This year's been a bit of a quiet year, but, you know, next year, that's the big one, hopefully.
100%. You know, I find that interesting. Like, a lot of fighters that I have interviewed on this podcast have actually talked about how their parents have not really wanted them to do it. And it's been, a lot of parents get a bit nervous seeing their child, do fighting. So, I mean, how has that sort of been? Obviously, your mum got you into the sport, but I'm sure she still gets nervous sort of watching your fights.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty funny. Mum gets a little nervous. They're heaps better now, mum and dad. Dad doesn't really get nervous at all. He's kind of just like, all right, it's your choice, you know.
Yeah.
Have fun. He's super chill. Mum, there's been a few times she's been quite nervous, quite stressed. But now, her first fight, my sister told me afterwards, mum was kept looking around, he's in a chicken's head, kind of jerking around, around, super nervous.
Yeah.
But now I think they both enjoy it because it's nice to see, you know, me up in there.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And I think also that they know that you love it and enjoy it, so they're there to support you. So that's the main thing. I want to know though, with any other sports that you sort of tried growing up, or has it always been Muay Thai?
Well, you know, I did a bit of, Oz kick, a bit of footy, played a little bit of cricket when I was really little. But I did try footy, it was kind of the turning point for me. Where I had to switch teams for footy after it was around Auskick was finishing year four, and I was going to join my new team, and I was in the car and I was about to get out and I refused to get out of the car. Dad, not very happy with me. We drove home, and then from there, haven't touched footy. Haven't really touched a ball, just straight Muay Thai after that.
Fair enough.
So I'd say that was a bit of a turning point for me.
Yeah, I mean, talking about turning points, obviously getting to the level that you're at now, you know, you've had 11 fights. There's no doubt that you love the sport. Was there a particular point for you where you sort of knew that, okay, I want to invest all my time into this and one day become a professional, or, you know, go down that path of becoming a professional fighter?
Yeah, I'd say it'd probably be end of 2018. It was when I was transitioning out of Avril's, we do our kids class, we've got a very big kids program. I was sort of transitioning out of that, moving up through our intermediates program. And I'd say that's when I was like, all right, fighting's what I want to do. Mm. And I had a chat to my coach, Darren, and he was telling me, right, you just go stick to it, lean out, just keep training, get everything, nutrition, strength training, all of that. From that 2019 onwards, it was just off to the races, trained relentlessly nonstop.
Yeah.
So I'd say just when I had that conversation with him, telling him this is what I want to do,
Yeah, and your coach was obviously very supportive of you going down that path. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I mean, you've been training at Riddler's gym for your whole fighting career now?
Yeah, whole fighting career.
So that's good. How have they sort of influenced your development surrounded by the coaches, even the fighters? How has that sort of helped you?
Yeah, Riddler's has a very big fight team. And since starting from such a young age, I've kind of just been around it, seeing all these great champions come up, you know. And I feel like as the fight team's progressed and I've gotten a bit older, I've gotten to see the highs and the lows of the fight team. Like currently we've got, you know, world champions, George Mann. We've had some great champions in the past, Lloyd Dean, we've had Tyler Hardcastle, just some great, great fighters all around.
Yeah.
And I think it's been nice to have them as like my inspiration, get to watch them work hard, train hard, and know that I'm kind of on the same path as them.
Yeah, yeah, nice. I mean, you said that like you sort of look up to them for like, you know, basing maybe your fight style off them, but has there been fighters, you know, at the pro level that you sort of looked up to, whether that's UFC or obviously ONE, which is massive, getting really big now with the Muay Thai and all the other sort of styles they do? Is there anyone that you sort of look to like, you know, I want to be like that guy?
Yeah, I'd say, well, you know, it's pretty funny, he just did a seminar, Jonathan Haggerty.
Yeah,
fan of him, love his style, super explosive. Superlek's another one, he's got a huge right kick, very long rangy. I like watching Rod Tang because he's, you know, obviously so entertaining.
Yeah, yeah,
he's so great. Tough. That's like something I really draw upon is his toughness and just trying to be that tough. Those are probably the three. Oh, and Talon Shai.
Yeah,
he's super slick, super fast. I try and like be very bouncy like him. Ones are pretty inspirational.
Yeah, that's good. So you kind of like, you know, take a few things from all these different fighters and try and implement it into your own, I guess. So that's good. And I want to sort of get an idea of what a usual week looks like for you for training wise and schedule wise. Like I'm talking Monday to Sunday, because a fighter's training schedule can be very intense, very busy. What does a week usually include for you from sparring, weight training, all that sort of stuff, Monday through to Sunday?
I'll start right at the start, you know. Monday, I like to keep it pretty consistent throughout the year. Like I don't really like doing camps, like highs and lows. I like to keep it pretty consistent. Yeah. So not much really changes throughout the year. It's more just, I try and do cardio 2 to 3 times a week. That'll be like lots of bike sprints, lots of like ski erg sprints, not too big into running. Sometimes the running is good for the mental toughness, but I find the sprints are really where I build my conditioning. I do my strength and nutrition with MH Performance, Mandy Hopper. She's fantastic. She's always checking in on me. So I've been working with her strength. I've been working for the last year, and nutrition, I'd say last 2 to 3 years now. Yeah. And I'd say her strength was game changing for me. No injuries, stronger, faster, leaner. Do that about 2 times a week. And then Muay Thai, go into the gym. I try and keep it 3 to 4 sessions a week. And then when we get into that, like, you know, last few weeks of fight camp, goes to 5 days a week. And then Sunday rest day.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, the strength training. I guess that's definitely a big one, especially as you get older. What about like diet? Like how has like diet sort of been implemented for you? Because I know that's also very important in fighting, probably, you know, the most demanding sports for what you eat, what you drink, all that sort of stuff. So how have you sort of, do you have like a meal prep plan? What do you sort of do for your diet?
So before working with MH and Mandy, you know, out there, there's a lot of influence, so especially bodybuilding and a lot of those influences, it's like, oh, carbs are the enemy, only protein. For athletes, you know, you need the carbs, so I try and implement lots of carbs. Mandy, she's very, I'd say a more holistic approach. Like, she doesn't set me, oh, eat this, this, and this.
Yeah.
She's more teaching me how to learn about food, create a better relationship with food. So before staying with her, my first 4 or 5 fights, I really struggled. Like, I'd balloon up and down. And even fighting back to back to back, I'd still try, my weight would still fluctuate heaps. But since working with her right before my first title fight, I'd say that my weight's been pretty consistent. I get to eat the things that I want. I can still go out, have a good time, but still know that I can get right back on track.
Yeah, nice. I mean, yeah, diet's definitely a massive thing. Like, I know with me personally, like, I don't fight or anything, but recently I've just been doing, like, meal prep and stuff like that, and already I can tell, like, the difference it's made. And I guess, like, with fighting, obviously managing your weight is definitely a big thing. Like, what weight do you usually fight at?
So I've actually recently moved up in weight, so I'd be fighting at 63.5 kilos or 140 pounds.
Yep.
just as I'm getting bigger, getting older, it's time to, I'm starting to fill out a bit more. So I'd say that weight now is pretty comfortable for me to fight at.
Yeah, I know.
And it's very competitive, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And I guess like you said, you know, you're still kind of growing, so you're kind of still finding your weight. But is that something you've sort of struggled with in the past to sort of like manage that weight and get to weight before fights?
Yeah, so the fight before my title fight, I had this run where I fought non-stop. I saw it was like every 6 weeks. And I'd say my weight was, I just wasn't eating very much, just in general. So my weight was low, but I just didn't have any energy.
Yeah.
But then I ballooned up and I struggled to get the weight down. I was quite worried. Yeah. But now working, especially Mandy's been like a huge help, MH performance. So even on fight week, they'll set out what I have to eat, what I have to drink, doing the water loading. So I'd say since working with them and actually taking the time to learn about how it affects the body, what I need to do, I'd say that's really made a difference, and I've made weight every time super easy.
Yeah, 100%. No struggles. Yeah, that's good to hear. Now, talking a bit more into the mental side of things, I want to, you know, you've just graduated high school, so I want to sort of ask, like, how did you manage balancing school along with fighting? Because obviously it's very draining on the body, it's very draining on the mind. Being in year 12, I can imagine, you know, a tough year of school. How did you sort of balance that when it came to school commitments?
Yeah, I'd say, I actually am one of the few people who enjoy school.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Pretty funny. But I found myself that year 9, 10, 11, always in the gym. I still tried to build, I'd put training first and build my life around that, I'd say. But doing ATAR in year 12 especially and being like, all right, it's just time to focus now because uni is something that I want to do.
Yeah.
I've kind of put fighting on the back burner just for this year. I only fought once. So it was more just being okay with taking time off training, because as draining as it is, and it did drain me heaps, taking that step away actually probably helped my relationship with the sport, because it made me miss it. I wasn't going into the gym going, oh, I have to be here. It's like, I get to be here. I get to enjoy it. Something I get to come back to. And even just when I'm studying, I might not train for a week, or I train like once a week at the gym, but it's more just not stop thinking about it, you know? Thinking about it, constantly thinking, all right, when I get back, I got to work on these things. So I'd say that was the biggest thing, was not taking my mind off it.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's definitely a big thing. Like, it definitely helps, like you mentioned, your relationship with the sport, because when you're constantly doing it, you can sometimes get a little bit burnt out. But when you focus on other things like school, studying, you know, very important things in your life as well, then like you said, you miss the sport. And when you go back, you just love it even more, which is awesome. Now, talking into actual fighting, your fighting career, I want to ask, what is your sort of mental preparation being like on fight day, you know, from morning through to the fight, through the walkout, in the locker room? Do you have sort of routine you like to stick to? Like, how do you sort of get rid of those nerves?
So I'd say the mental prep comes in right even before fight day. The mental prep comes months in advance. I like to have my fights booked quite early in advance, so even as soon as it's booked, it's just lots of visualization at Riddler's. Darren always preaches visualizing, especially when you've got a fight booked. Visualize. See yourself not only doing good, but doing bad. When you're in those tough spots, how are you going to respond to it? How are you going to get out of it? So by the time fight day comes, I've already seen it all. I've already visualized it. So fight day is very, I'd say, chill for me. I don't really have too many routines, other than my big one is, because fight shows are at night. And even though I do my best to sleep in, but
yeah,
I wake up, I've still got hours. So instead of thinking about it, I actually like to bake on fight day. Like, I'll make cookies, I'll make cake, just to really just take my time, take my mind off it, and it kills pretty much my whole day. So by the time I'm done, boom, it's time to go fight, get in there, and then I'll see how I'm feeling on the day. If I'm feeling super calm, I'll just go with that. If I'm feeling more intense, more, not angry, but like if I'm feeling very intense and switched on, I'll go with that. I don't try and force like what I'm feeling.
That's good. And do you sort of, I know a lot of fighters and just athletes in general that I've interviewed, they like to listen to music or do like a meditation sort of thing before their event or fight. Do you sort of implement anything like that?
Not really, because we've got Riddler's such a big fight team. Most of the time in the back, in the locker room, we've got such a big team around us anyway. So it's nice just to be around that, knowing that I'm not, even if I'm the only one fighting on the show, I'm not alone in it. So it's just nice to be around the people I trust and the people that have gone through it with me.
Yeah, nice. I mean, that's definitely a big thing, having your team surrounded you, because, you know, fighting's probably, you know, it's often talked about how it's like the loneliest sport, you know, but having your team, your supporters makes a massive difference. Now, you are a Muay Thai state champion and national champion. So what would you say has been your greatest achievement in the sport?
I'd probably say that state title win, just because I went on that run undefeated and then I got beaten. And for those, it was in July. And from July, when we rematched in October,
yeah,
I didn't do anything else but train for that. That was all I focused on. So I feel like that was quite special for me, because it was the rematch was in his gym, had the crowd against me. And it was a very intense fight. So I'd say that one was probably my biggest achievement, just getting that loss back, overcoming all that adversity. And just, I'd say that one was the biggest one.
Yeah, definitely. And I can see probably a very rewarding, fight for you when you're saying that's all you did was train. Definitely would have taken a lot out of you. So, I want to get your perspective on fighting as a sport and how it's progressed in Australia. Like, do you think more people are getting into it and wanting to give it a go? Like, personally, I feel like it's grown in the past couple of years. But from your perspective, like, even people joining or coming to Riddler's, like, what is your perspective on the sport growing?
Yeah, I'd say definitely the last few years, UFC, it's become massive worldwide. Everyone wants to be an MMA fighter now. But even with ONE Championship, it's created a platform for all these fighters to aspire to. So I'd say even if you don't want to fight, just combat sports or martial arts in general have grown heaps. Like Riddler's, I can attest to teaching the kids classes. Our kids program has grown tremendously over the last few years. You know, now instead of walking into the gym, even on our low periods like winter when no one really wants to train, going from really small classes all year round, it's just packed. And I find that with lots of gyms around Perth. So I'd say even just in general, as a whole, martial arts are more widely recognized and like more accepted instead of just being like a little cult following.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you mentioned the kids classes that you coach, which I did want to actually ask you about. First of all, would you say like coaching other people has sort of helped you, get a different angle on the sport and develop your skills better by teaching it? And would you want to be a coach one day, sort of?
Yeah, of course. Of course it would. Having to explain it and break it down, especially to kids, because you've got to really simplify things and make it in a way that they can understand. So I find that has really helped me with my understanding of how my body moves. Yeah, I would say it's not something I've thought about, like opening my own gym, being like a fight trainer. That's not something I've really thought about. But, who knows where the sport will take me? Who knows what I'll want to do in the future?
Yeah.
But I would say teaching the kids is quite rewarding, and it's nice to give back to the community and to the next generation.
Definitely. Now, I did want to sort of mention a bit of mental burnout, obviously a massive topic we talk about on here. Obviously, we talked a bit about it before with balancing it with school and taking a bit of time away from training. But has there been like a specific point in your fighting journey where you've sort of experienced that massive mental burnout? And if so, how did you sort of manage that? Is there people you like to talk to, or is there things you like to do? How did you sort of deal with that?
I wouldn't say I've had a huge mental burnout, so to speak. It's more just, honestly, this year, taking a bit of a step back from fighting did help my relationship with the sport. It also, I'd find like at the start of the year especially, I was getting kind of bored of training because being in that 17, almost 18 range, there wasn't really anyone else for me to fight. Because I kind of sat around and waited until I was 18 to get a fight, because then I can fight everyone.
Yeah.
So I'd say that was a point, especially taking a step back, where I really thought, oh, maybe I could just step away altogether. But then as soon as I got that fight in July booked, and I was like, all right, we're back into it. And it was nice to just come back to the gym and just refocus, especially now school's over. Having that focus back on training again has been pretty good for me. I feel a lot more relaxed and calm.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, talking a bit into your future, we've just finishing year 12, opportunities are starting to open up more for you. Where can you sort of see yourself in the next year or a couple of years? 2024 is obviously going to be a big year for you. Do you have goals set for yourself that you want to try and reach?
Really, at the moment, it's hard because I'm only just 18. Really, the world is my oyster, so to speak, especially with all the fights I can have. But I'd say my main goal is just to take the biggest fights, the hardest fights, the unwinnable fights, just to really push myself and see how much I can grow, how far I can take it.
Yeah. And would you ever consider maybe switching to MMA or always stick with Muay Thai?
I've given it some thought, and especially I have thought about it. But now with promotions like ONE Championship over in Thailand, RWS, there's just such a bigger platform for Muay Thai now, and the money is there.
Yeah.
So I'd say for the moment, purely Muay Thai, just for the moment.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, one championship is growing, man, like 100%. I've even started getting into it a bit recently, and you know, it's perfect for Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, whatever, like even just MMA, you know, because obviously there's like that hierarchy of UFC sort of being that top one, but one's getting there. So yeah, definitely I'd say stick at it.
I like that they take risks and they're not afraid to break out of their shell a little bit, like not just do, oh, just MMA, just Muay Thai. They're okay to do the special rules events, the submission grappling, like it's actually putting... Not many people would know what submission grappling is. And then they see it on one, and it's like, oh, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
pretty exactly. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I like what you said about that, them taking risks. It's definitely getting a bigger audience in for them. So that's good to see. Now, I just have a couple personal questions for you just before we finish up here. And that the first one I have for you is, with all the people you look up to for advice, who would you say is your biggest supporter? Obviously, there'd be a long list of coaches, your mum, your dad. But if you could narrow it down to a few people, who would you say that would be for you?
Yeah, of course, I'd have to put parents at the top of the list because, you know, really couldn't do much without them, you know, before I got my license when I was young.
Yeah.
They're the ones who'd have to stay up late to drive me to and from training. They're the ones who, you know, support me. So I'd say they're at the top of my list. Of course, my coach, Darren, he's number two. He's like a second dad to me, you know, always there giving guidance, not just to me, just to the whole team. He's just a real inspiration to see like what you do, what you can become if you set your mind to something.
Yeah. And I guess for other athletes out there, maybe wanting to get into fighting or even if it's another sport trying to make it a higher level, but more specifically fighting, what advice would you sort of give them and tell them before they sort of get into it?
I would say to even martial artist, fighter, AFL player, no matter what your sport is, stick to it. Yeah. Even if it's getting tough, you're getting burnt out, stay the course, it'll all work out in the end. Just stay on it.
Yeah, so I guess consistency is the biggest thing, 100%. And for you, you know, what would you say is your motivation in the sport? When days are hard for you, when things are going well, what is that one thing that you think to when things might get a little bit overwhelming that kind of pushes you that extra mile?
I would say it's that, just telling myself it's how far I can take it. It's just knowing... Right. If it's getting hard, if it's going good, either way, I'm growing as a person, not as a person, as a fighter, just in general, I'm growing. Yeah. No matter if the experience is good or bad, I'm growing. So that's what I really look to. Just reminding myself it's all growth.
Yeah, 100%. Growth is the biggest thing, man. I know personally with me, I did boxing for about a year. And honestly, the amount of things I learned from that I've applied to other areas of my life from just 1 year of boxing is massive. Like, that's one of the main reasons I started this podcast. So, you know, you mentioning growth, that's definitely a very important thing. So that's very good. That about wraps it up, bro. So I really appreciate you taking the time. I hope your first podcast was a good experience.
No worries. Thank you for having me.
No problem. And all the viewers listening and watching, you know, go and follow Luke. He's got a big journey ahead and a very bright future. So we wish you the best. Yeah. Hope to see you at the top one day. So that'll be very good. Everyone watching and listening, this will be on YouTube, Spotify, and all podcast platforms to listen. This probably is the last interview of the year, so just real quick from myself, big thank you from all the supporters this year. It's been crazy this year. 100% next year, I think we'll look to get more fighters on, because those of you who know me, I love the fighting episodes. So yeah, appreciate all of you. Big year ahead next year, and yeah, I'll catch you guys in 2024 in the next episode of The Athlete's Mind. Thank you.